And now the game where we get to ask really, really famous people about really, really obscure things. It's called Not My Job. Actress and writer Carrie Fisher would be famous anyway. She was the first daughter of the most adored celebrity couple of the 1950s. She's an acclaimed screenwriter. She's published 4 best-selling books. She's toured the country in a one-woman show, now another book. But of course, she will forever be known and adored for one role. That's right, Princess Leia in the Star Wars holiday TV special. Carrie Fisher, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you. You have been touring the country in this one-woman show that's now your book. It's called, what is it called? And I read it, too.
I'm not sure. Wishful Drinking.
Wishful Drinking. Mm. And just to give people an idea of this book, the cover of the book is a picture of Princess Leia, her head on a table holding an empty martini glass, okay?
And I think pills floating around, if
pills
I'm not
mistaken. Pills are floating around. So this is the kind of book it is. It's sort of brutally honest. You describe in the book your childhood, your parents, Debbie Reynolds, Eddie Fisher. You say they were sort of like the Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston of their day.
That's right, and Elizabeth Taylor was Angelina Jolie.
Right. Oh, the vixen. So when you were a baby, you were famous. You were like on all the tabloids, all the gossip. There's Debbie Reynolds smiling at her new baby girl, Carrie.
Well, yeah, they took pictures of me, I think, starting when I was 3 hours old. So if it's true what the Africans say, that you lose your soul when you get photographed,
yeah.
I'm a totally soulless human being.
There you are.
There's this, Carrie, in your book, there's this amazing chart you have that puts together all the people who are in your family. Married, remarried, married third, fourth, fifth time. I mean, you lay it out, you can understand why you might want to have a cocktail now and again. When you looked at that chart, could you believe that was your life? I mean, it's your mom and your dad and Elizabeth Taylor. And, oh, my gosh.
Yes, I could believe it. I did it because my daughter had was flirting with Elizabeth Taylor's grandson. So asked me if they were related. And that was why I did the chart, which ultimately they're related by scandal.
Oh, I see. You had to fire up Microsoft Excel just to figure it out. Now, I want to ask, you tell a story and it kind of sums up how odd your life was in the way that your parents tried to intervene or get somebody to intervene with you when you had some problems with drugs later on, or early on, I should say.
My mother, yes, called Cary Grant, like any normal mother would do, to talk to me about not doing LSD. It was known at the time that he'd gone to a doctor and done LSD under doctor's supervision.
Right.
But anyway, he did call, and we chatted about me not doing acid. And then my father ran into him at Princess Grace's funeral, and he went up remembering somehow that that Cary Grant did acid and said to him, "My daughter's addicted to acid." So 2 times Cary Grant called to convince me
to
do acid.
The second time that he called, did he say, "It's me again"?
That's right.
I want to dork out in you for a little bit. Star Wars, you got the role of Princess Leia when you were something like 19 years old?
Yeah.
Now, this is a total dork question, but it's bothered me for years. You're doing the first movie. You are, of course, of the great romantic interest of the young hero Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. We found out later, quite famously, that your sister and brother, did you know that when you did the first movie?
Not at all.
So you didn't know that you were supposed to be Lucas? Didn't tell you.
No, I didn't know, and I think he sort of went according to our personalities a little bit. But he also didn't tell me about the metal bikini. I was brought to San Francisco and shown this thing I was going to have to wear.
Mm. Isn't a metal bikini sort of cold?
Well, what it is it doesn't adhere to your body. So Boba Fett
that would
was
be
standing behind me. You remember him?
I remember him well, yes.
And I'm laying there on Jabba the Hutt, and he can see all the way to Florida.
And he's wearing that mask, so who knows where he's looking. So he's having a good time.
Yep, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Gotta ask you about the hair. You had that hair, the famous hair.
I hated that hair.
Yeah, and could you do anything about it? Did you try to do anything about it?
No, I didn't understand why they'd hired me to begin with. So I
That's because you hadn't worn the bikini yet.
I didn't want to make any trouble, so that whatever they told me to do, that was just fine, and they put the horrible hairstyle on. They'd given me the job with the caveat that I had to lose 10 pounds, and I weighed 105 at the time.
Ooh, good grief.
But about 60 of those pounds were in my face. So a good idea would be, though, to give me a hairstyle that further widens my already wide face.
Right.
And it took 2 hours to do that hairstyle. When I did Saturday Night Live, they had one just made up. It just plopped on your head, and I thought, why couldn't we have done that?
Okay, your book is so candid. You've told us so many things, but you also say at a part in your book, you wouldn't believe what I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
So when do we get that version? When do we get the unexpurgated version?
When all the people that those stories relate to are dead.
Oh.
Including me.
That'll keep them alive.
All right, can you give us, like, do you know anything juicy about Alec Guinness, for example?
Alec Guinness once gave Mark Hamill 20 pounds to go away.
Is that true?
Yes, it is.
He just said, here, take this money and leave me alone. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he was asking Alec all these questions about his career, and it became annoying. Because Mark was something of a film buff, so he gave him the money to go away.
And did Mark take it?
Of course. I think after Alec signed it.
Oh.
No.
When you and Cary Grant talked, did you call each other Cary?
Well, Cary Fisher, we are honored to have you with us. We have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Okay, it's complicated and expensive, and it never worked, but at least this Star Wars doesn't have Ewoks.
Oh, fantastic.
That's right, Cary Fisher. We're going to ask you about the other Star Wars, formerly known as the Strategic Defense Initiative, the Missile Defense Program, dreamed up by Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. Get three questions about this Star Wars right. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Cary Fisher playing for?
She is playing for Katrina Herlihy of Chicago.
All right, here we go. Here's your first question. People have wondered for years why Reagan became so enamored with the idea of shooting down enemy missiles with ray guns. Among the possible reasons were which of these? A, he once played a spy named Brass Bancroft in a movie serial whose mission was to protect a new government space weapon called the Inertia Ray. Was it B, he liked to pun on his name, saying things like, I'm a real ray gun, and if you don't watch out, I'll blast you. Or C, he loved to collect umbrellas, always looking for the sturdiest and strongest, and wondered how big and effective they could get.
I'm going to have to say A, though I wish I could say B.
You're going to say A, that he played a guy named Brass Bancroft in movie serial involving a ray gun.
Just as probable as the umbrella.
You're right. But you're right. He did play Brass Bancroft in a movie serial in which there was an inertia ray shot down enemy planes. All right. That's good. You have two more questions. Here's number two. Reagan was encouraged to pursue Star Wars by the notorious Dr. Edward Teller, known as the father of the hydrogen bomb. Teller told the president that the U.S. could construct powerful X-ray lasers that could shoot down enemy missiles. But Teller didn't tell the president one small detail. What? A, each X-ray laser would have to be a mile long and cost $1 trillion. B, each X-ray would have to be powered by an exploding atomic bomb. Or C, at the current rate of research and development, the X-ray lasers would be ready to launch in 2150.
I like A, but I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C, that they wouldn't be ready till 2150?
Yeah.
No, it was B. The lasers would work beautifully as long as you could blow up an atomic bomb every time you needed to use one to provide the X-rays.
Oh, damn.
Teller neglected to mention that detail. The program went forward. All right. Third question. The SDI program never became operational despite a few successful tests. At least one of those tests back in the 80s might not have been as successful as the Pentagon claimed. Why? A, the Pentagon said it was a success when one of its target missiles happened to blow up by accident. B, the target missiles were wired to explode when the Star Wars missile got anywhere near it. Or C, the Pentagon claimed that the Hunter missile found its target simply because both missiles crashed into the same ocean.
Let me go with three, then.
You're going to go with the third choice, that they both crashed into the Pacific. No, I'm afraid it was
no.
B. It was B, yes. They were wired to explode, you see. And thus
see,
the Pentagon.
I'm not good at this.
No, it's all right.
Yes.
So, Carl, how did Carrie Fisher do in our quiz?
Well, Carrie needed at least two correct answers to win for Katrina Herlihy, but she had just one.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, because even though you didn't do well on this, you still helped blow up two Death Stars.
That's really what counts.
Isn't it, though, ultimately?
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher is an actress and the author of several books. Her latest book, Wishful Drinking, has been in the New York Times bestseller list for 7 weeks and counting. Carrie Fisher, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
With us.
Thank you, guys.